Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And a lot of stuff to talk about this morning as we got baseball, football, firings. We got MVP chants. We got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of good stuff to get to this morning here on the show. Coach Fritz is going to join us in 5 minutes. So we've got...
Make it quick, John.
Just a couple of minutes. Brian Callahan fired. It was...
They're a mess. They're an absolute...
Yes.
That organization is an absolute mess.
Yeah.
Can't keep a GM, can't keep a coach. They make changes as the wind blows. I don't know if he's the right guy or not, but they're just firing everybody whenever. Fans boo. Amy Adams Strunk just...
It's terrible ownership right there.
It really is.
They've always been. From when her dad and her now. They're just knee-jerk. They have no vision. I mean, it's just a terrible...
I don't know if he's the right guy, but that's... He's not even a season and a half in. Okay. I mean, you know, you look back at it, you screwed up with Vrabel.
Yeah.
Vrabel's the right guy. I'm sorry you're not always going to be happy and always have a good year. Mike Vrabel's going to be coach of the year in New England.
And he's coming in there this week.
Yeah.
And you know how she hates...
Oh, he's going to beat the brakes
off. And you know how she hates when someone, you know, it's personal.
Yeah.
Because she hates the Texans.
The Texans, yeah.
Right? And anything that it has to do with the Texans. And she's going to hate Vrabel coming in there and kicking their ass. Uh-huh. She's going to hate that.
She's going to hate it. And it's, I don't know if they made the right decision with the quarterback. Look, I think Cam Ward, I gave him a 63, which is like a second round grade. He was never a savior to me. But, you know.
But you think that you would give a coach a year with him?
Yeah.
He just started.
Cam was also... You know, Callahan said, hey, Cam's got to play better. I mean, he was just honest in the press conference. There's nothing wrong with it. You should be able to say that. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it. If those two don't get along, the week before, Cam Ward said, if we're keeping it a buck, our offense is ass. I was like, well, that's a buck. That's accurate, too. So I don't know if he's the right guy, but you may have hired the wrong guy. You know, A.J. Highsmith, Alonzo's son. He left his job to go take over director of player personnel with Tennessee Titans, and then they got rid of Rand Carthen, who got 2 years, the GM. They brought in a new GM, and that GM took over, and AJ stayed there until right before the draft. They got rid of him, which is very strange.
That's how stupid is that?
Right before the draft,
the guy who's been working on the draft all year.
He didn't even get a full year in Tennessee. But, you know, you hire your own guys. I get it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, the GM is going to hire their own guys. So
yep.
That's the way
that
business
goes. But right before the draft,
goes.
When he's got all this information that you could use?
I tried to get him on NFL Network because I told my bosses, I said, listen, have him come in with me on day three. He knows every one of these players. You can have him come in day one. The Titans have the first pick. He worked for the Titans. He knows Cam Ward. He went to Miami.
Yeah.
He played at Miami. He knows the first pick inside and out. And it was just too late. Like they just said, we've already got our lineup, so to speak. It's like a bat. My guy Charlie just said, look, it's like baseball. You know, our lineup card's already in. There's nothing I can really do. But
yeah.
It's just that organization. And, you know, we were that organization for not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, right.
We were that organization not that long ago. I think the difference is Cal doesn't have personal agendas and is not a naturally aggressive, contentious person. Cal's not a contentious person. Amy Adams Strunk.
Why are you going to do that? I mean,
I didn't even hear anything.
Yeah.
Amy Adams Strunk is very contentious.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know.
She's almost, she's got a vengeful. She's
like Misery, like what's her name from the movie Misery?
Yeah, I don't know about she's going to cut people's feet off,
But she didn't cut it. She just hit it with a hammer.
Oh, didn't she?
Well, there was a block in between. He broke.
She broke his ankles. Yeah. I don't know if she's breaking feet.
Yeah.
But no, she, and she's spiteful. And she.
Kind of like Dirty Birdie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to call her that per se, but maybe she is. She's miserable. But yeah. And I just wouldn't want to.
I don't take no orders from the woman, by the way.
Yeah, by the way, there too. But they do in Indianapolis, and they're doing fine with it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean,
see, that's a different. Of course, I don't know if
I don't know how. Well, she's brand new. I don't know how involved. I mean, she's involved now.
I mean, I don't know if I'd want. I don't care, man, woman, whatever, on the sideline with headsets on.
Well, but Ballard, they from Jim Mercer, they turned the team over to the general manager, and the general manager runs the team. In Tennessee, you don't get the sense that that's happening.
Yeah.
You don't get the sense that that's happening. I know in Dallas it's not happening. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's different. We can talk about that later. Willie Fritz joins us right now because there's different. No, he's not. He's not. I don't. Yeah. Well, we'll just wait to hear from him. There's different leadership styles for different teams, but I just know that, you know, Jim Crane. We can say it when we want to, but I don't have a problem with the leadership. You know, we can pick at this, pick at that, but. The Astros know who they are.
Yeah.
The Rockets know who they are. And the Texans know who they are. It took a while, and I think ownership is not the type to root, you know. I don't think you want to have the wrong people in place or it becomes a big issue. Let me put it that way.
Well, we'll go right now to, speaking of the Rockets and Tillman, we've got.
Well, they've got a good, and Rene Couture, like Houston's got their stuff together.
University of Houston
by the way, shout out to Houston. I know this is, Willie Fritz will like hearing this. Even though it's not on the football side, University of Houston jumped up in the school rankings across the nation. They jumped into the top 70 nationally, moving up about 20 spots.
For academics.
For academics, for public schools. And their goal is to get into the top 50. And that's, they're ahead of Baylor, SMU, TCU. Like, they shot way, they're behind, I think, A&M in Texas. But
well,
Houston,
those are private schools, though, Baylor and TCU. And,
well, that's right, but they were still ahead of them. Yeah, okay, I'm just saying, they're still ahead of them in the overall rankings.
Gotcha. Well, that's great, and that's great for Coach. You know what? That's something that you can tell. You go and you sit in a recruit's living room, Coach, and you talk about what great academics you get at the University of Houston, no?
Yeah, you really do. Good morning, guys. Yeah, I always make sure we talk about that. In this day and age, portal and rev share and NIL, sometimes people forget what the most important thing is when you go to a university and that's to get a degree that means something. And you're right, our President Couture has done an unbelievable job of, you know, really changing the trajectory of our school academically. We've got the number one entrepreneurship program in the nation, really strong in business and engineering, a lot of different majors. I think we have 281 different majors that are offered on campus, so we're always selling, you know, the academic prowess of the University of Houston with recruits and their parents.
Yeah, Coach, I want to follow up on that. I had a conversation with my brother, who's a football coach here at Tomball, and it was kind of a reminder that there are always going to be some kids and families who it's going to be about the financials and the NIL, and you know, for some it's very needed. For others, it's a, you know, you'll have guys who just maybe care more about the money than the football, whatever the case may be. But there's still a lot of, I think there's still a lot of families and a lot of players who do care about all the right stuff. And some, and I think there are still, I don't know, you tell us, there are still players and families who care very much about getting that degree, and they understand this is not just going to be about, you know, NFL dreams.
Well, you know that, and also, you know, having an opportunity with this great degree, getting your first job when you graduate.
Right.
You know, we've got over 200,000 alums in the greater Houston area. You know, so we've got all sorts of chances for guys to get internships, job shadowing opportunities. You know, I sell the heck out of that too. So that the guy, you know, during his junior and senior year, he's going to have a chance to, you know, see if that's something he's really interested. I had a kid last summer. He was job shadowing a real estate guy, and because he wanted to be, get into real estate. And one of our alums here from the University of Houston, and after he'd done it for about 3 weeks, he's like, "Man, I did not want to do that. That was a waste of time." I said, "No, it wasn't. It was a really valuable time. You found out this is something you don't want to do, and we can go ahead and change your major now." You find out that if you want to be successful in real estate, you're gonna have to work 24/7. Just like really any job, if you want to be successful. But that's a big advantage we have here at the University of Houston.
Coach Willie Fritz joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 every week. Let's talk about last week, Coach. It started out, the OSU got the early lead. You guys come right back. What I loved, you got 8 play drives, 7 play, 11 play drives. You had time of possession. You really controlled that football game, Coach.
And we really did a good job of converting, on some third down situations, which we had trouble with the week before. I thought we had a really good run game. We always talk about winning the run game. We dominated that area against Oklahoma State. And then we had, threw for over 300 yards. I thought Connor Wigman had one of his better ball games. Offensively, I thought we played really well overall.
Yeah, it's almost like that in boxing, and it's always been like this for the run game. The run game is the body work. It's going to the body and it's wearing an opponent down over the long haul. It feels like you're pretty committed to that on a regular basis. You did it at Tulane. You look at Dean Connor's carry total, and you see a commitment to running the football and kind of beating the opponents. And that happened over the second half against Oklahoma State. You could really see it manifest itself.
You bet. I like that analogy. I may have to start using it.
Use it, Coach. Use it.
I'll give you
my dad actually gave that one. He also told me pass protection for tackles is basketball and boxing. You're throwing hands, you're sliding your feet like basketball. He said it's as simple as sliding in basketball to stay in front of the man and throwing independent hands like a boxer. So I just use what he says sometimes.
That's good. That's good. He taught you well.
Yeah.
I thought Dean really played well. Second half, had an unbelievable catch. One of the better catches I've seen.
That was unbelievable, Coach.
And I hope it made the.
That's a cut. That's a candidate for catch of the year.
No, it was something else. But he's and they told us we submitted that play too. We thought there was interference from the linebacker as well, and they said they should have probably called it as well. But he had a great beginning. He's 210 pounds. He might be the fastest guy we have on our team. And he's real smart. He's assignment sound. He doesn't make very many mistakes. He probably counted on one hand, any missed assignments he's had so far this whole season, So that's a attribute that sometimes we don't recognize enough with football players. You got to do the right thing. There's so many moving parts out there with, fronts and coverages and what your responsibility is going to be. And, then we check plays quite frequently and, He's a really smart football player, and we're lucky to have him.
It's Coach Willie Fritz with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now we got Arizona coming in, Coach, and they're 2-1 in conference. The conference is starting to shape up. They're 1-2 in conference and 4-2 overall. But the conference is starting to shape up in Arizona. This is a big one as far as staying up near the top of these guys because, Tech is 3-0, BYU 3-0, Cincinnati 3-0. You got to stay week after week after week. If you're going to compete for that title, you got to stay with them. Tell me what you think about Arizona and what they got coming in here on Saturday.
Well, real quality ball club. They got beaten double overtime by BYU this last week. BYU tied it up with just a few seconds left on the regulation clock and then beat them in double overtime. Got a great quarterback. He's not a real tall guy. He's probably 5'10", 5'11", but, he's got great feet. He does a good job of throwing the ball outside the pocket, inside the pocket, good receivers. Playing really well defensively. They've run a whole bunch of different things up front, with odd even slanting, bringing linebackers up, dropping D linemen. So we really got to be on point this week.
Yeah, and homecoming. What do you think of 11 o'clock games?
I like them. I like playing these games. Sometimes you sit around all day and wait for. We've had some late starts this year, but. Whatever they tell us to do, we're going to do it. I just hope we get a bunch of people out to the stadium. Great atmosphere. I went to a homecoming event last evening with the students. And if you haven't been out before, I think you'll really enjoy being at TDECU Stadium and seeing the Cougs play. I think it's a really good atmosphere for college football.
Yeah, it's a good chance for fans to start drinking at 8 in the morning and have a good excuse for it, as opposed to, you know, drinking at 8 in the morning for no reason.
Start afterwards.
Right. Well, let's go. Everybody get on out there. We got tickets to give away. We've got a bunch of tickets, so we're giving them away on every show here this week. We want you guys out there. It's homecoming, Arizona coming in. Hey, you know, listen, last game, Texas Tech, that was fun. Had that the whole side of the state. I know Texas Tech had a bunch of fans there, but the Cougs showed out. And let's go. We got a show out again this week for the Arizona game, 11 a.m. So get on out there and enjoy a beautiful day of football with the Houston Cougars and homecoming. So, Coach, good. Best of luck, man. Go get them. You guys are still right there. You got everything in front of you still for this football season. So hopefully that continues on Saturday.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Go
Cougs. Go Cougs. Go Cougs. We got Coach Willie Fritz every week at 7:05 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I believe he's brought to you by HRNP. HRNP. Thank you so much for sponsoring Willie Fritz. That's Mike Holly, who blocked for Andre Ware and a Heisman Trophy back in the day. And he's the guy who's got all the best technology.
That story before, that I don't know if a lot of people, I think I told it on this show or maybe it was off the air, but I don't know if people realize this who didn't live here, but the Cougs were on probation.
Yeah.
None of those games were on TV.
Yeah.
Dre, so it begs the question.
Dre went ran out.
Mike
Heisman
blocked for Andre Ware.
Did he though?
Heisman Trophy.
You don't know.
You don't know. Did you see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's film.
Did you don't know.
There's film of it.
Where have you seen it?
Much like the
one. Have you ever seen plenty of Andre Ware highlights?
Have
yeah.
you ever seen film yeah. of Mike Holly though?
Yeah Mike Holly.
Did they say this is
number
Mike Holly?
Number 75.
Are yeah. we sure?
Are we sure that it was Mike Holly
yes,
though?
We're sure.
Because Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt said actually he changed numbers with the player, so his one of the years of eligibility shouldn't have counted against him.
And back then there was
at Alabama State
less oversight back then, so who knows who was in
there
that
was plenty
jersey.
Of oversight.
Who knows?
Well, that's why they were on probation.
Yeah, no, yeah. not the that oversight type of oversight.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not talking about that type of oversight. You know, checking to make sure the right players are playing in the right spot.
Why
who
are
knows?
We questioning whether or not Mike Holly played?
It wasn't on TV. You don't know.
I do know.
It wasn't on TV.
I've seen him.
Families are using this against each other now. The Andrews, Nikki and Tori. He said, this happens every day where, and I said, it's annoying until you just give into it. Because you could be trying to have a real conversation. And,
you don't know.
And she said, that's what will happen. Tori was just saying, you don't know. You don't know. And it's just like, what? I said, you just have to relax and just give into it.
It's
nothing you can do about
see,
it.
It's the best way for an argument.
It is.
You don't know.
There's nothing you can say. Just keep like, yeah, we do know.
But there are, in fact,
see, that's why we used it against you.
But there are, in fact, times when we do know, even when he says
but
no.
Still, but what can
do
you
know.
Do, though? Yeah. He can just keep
no,
saying it.
But I have the information in front of me. It's
it
not
doesn't matter to him, though.
The top of my
that's
head.
The problem. It doesn't matter. He'll just keep saying it. That's what makes you crazy if you let it.
Yeah.
I don't let it, but in fact,
I know. We
I
do
know.
Yes.
Okay.
But a Heisman with no TV appearances, that's insane to me.
That is insane, yeah. Well.
But his stats were ungodly. Like, they hadn't seen anything like it.
Nope. All right. And you haven't seen anything like this. GimmeTheVin.com. Giving away $25,000 in cash every month. GimmeTheVin.com, already the best place to sell your car. Now it's even better with the GimmeTheVin.com big cash giveaway. GimmeTheVin.com is giving away $25,000 in cash every month. Two ways to win. You get 250 chances to win with your mail-in entry, or 1,000 chances to win if they buy your car. And if you're selling your car, I don't know, I don't want to call you stonauts, or I don't want to insult you, but you're pretty stupid if you don't go to GimmeTheVin.com. That's all I'm saying. Because he's going to pay you more. He's guaranteeing that he'll give you more than CarMax, and if he can't beat CarMax, he'll give you $100. So on top of what CarMax is giving you, he will give you another $100. And he doesn't do that very often because he beats CarMax all the time. I do know one person, Michael, he got $100 from him. I was like, that's incredible. Yeah, it was incredible. And he sent him the $100. That's what John Clay Wolf does. So you're selling your car, guaranteed you're going to get the most for it. With GimmeTheVin.com, GimmeTheVin.com.
Yeah. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 723 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. This is, like, most of our listeners listen for this call. It's right after UT beat OU, and Longhorn Scott calls in on the Tuesday afterwards. Because this is he epitomizes UT fan, right? If there was a if there's one person that epitomizes what UT is all about, it's Longhorn Scott.
I would say when people say they can't stand UT and their fan base, this is the guy they're talking about.
No, wait a minute. There have been Longhorn fans who've called our show and emailed him. You know they say he doesn't speak.
Yeah, we have Longhorn
Keith. And you always try to put him on them.
No, we have
Longhorn. No. I say the opposite. Yes, he does.
We have examples.
Yes, he
Longhorn
does.
Keith isn't like this. Well, he's reasonable. But when we talk
about... What do you mean? Longhorn Scott's reasonable?
Sure.
I mean,
listen to this call before you say that.
I'm going to listen to this
call. What to Lance's point, we have on one end Longhorn Keith, and then we have on the other end all the Tech A&M fans who say they hate Longhorn fans. This is the guy who they're talking about.
Because he gets a little pompous after a win?
Pompous before a win. He was pompous on the day he called last week.
He was a bit pompous last week. Let's get Longhorn Scott in here.
To the victor go to
speak. Spoils. Speak of the devil. Longhorn Scott is with us. What's up, Longhorn Scott?
Well, guys, blow me over. I didn't know sports radio was supposed to be reasonable. My apologies. I mean, with all due respect, like, sorry. Hey, you think we're all... I'm going to give you an arrogant a-hole when I call in. Like, at the end of the day, and some things, you know, they are what they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said it. You're right, Dale. I was pompous. And I was right, by the way. Texas defense was going to show up. I said it might take a defensive score or a special team score. It didn't take it, but it happened. By the way, it was chippy in Dallas. I mean, I didn't go for many years. I went in 2022. I went in 2024, and I went this year. So 3-0, I got a three-game winning streak here in like 150-17 or something, whatever, outscoring those trash. But it was chippy this year, more so than even back. Like, I go back to the 90s since it was this chippy. So all the trash talking before the game. And, of course, as you might imagine, I partook in that, and it was pretty fun. And while Aggie cheers are the most delicious beverage, nothing quite like beating OU. And I hate them. That school is trash. Their fans are fairly trash as well. I mean, almost to a man or woman. They always live up to what I believe they are. So beating them is so fun because you hate them. I don't hate A&M. I find A&M to be mildly amusing, annoying, weird. But I've got some great friends that are Aggies. If you get Aggies in groups of three or more, now all bets are off because it's like, oh, boy, David Koresh is having a get-together.
Oh, no.
But it was awesome. I'll say this, a couple of thoughts, and then I'll get out of your way. Texas, I am so looking forward to the A&M game because Marcel Reed has not seen a defense like this. And it's just going to be like John Mateer. And by the way, tip of the hat to Mateer because he just transferred in for the money and chance to play in a bigger league, whatever. He's not one of these guys that runs his mouth. I got no problem with that kid. In fact, I tip my hat coming off of a thumb surgery, which did not inhibit his play. The Texas defense inhibited his play. But just like him, Reed hasn't seen a defense, nor will he see a defense until November the whatever after Thanksgiving. It's going to be so glorious. You know, in certain regions of the world, wine tastes better because the grapes are in a much better environment. And so, too, are Aggie tears, right? They have to be cultivated. A big early surge in the beginning of the year, leading up to November. An unexpected stumble. Really, it's multiples. I think there's a chance A&M does pretty well because their schedule sets up pretty good for them until they go to Austin. At that point, it could be that the winner of that game gets into the SEC championship.
Okay, there's a long way to go before we get there. to that game that's going to decide the who's in. Like Aggies got a rough go of it, if you want to know the truth. They got three straight road games. They got to go to Arkansas, LSU, and Missouri. So I don't know what you're talking about. You still got Georgia at Georgia ahead of you. Mississippi State, who's playing well. Vanderbilt, who's playing well. And Arkansas, whatever. There's a long way to go before you're in the championship game with your two losses.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. You got one loss in conference, but there's still a long way to go. But I love it. I mean, the Sooner game is it's still cold, and he's already going after the Aggies, which isn't until November 28th. He's still going after he's going right immediately after the Aggies.
This is on brand.
Yeah. And going after the Aggies has less to do with the football and more to do with what he thinks of them as just people.
As people.
Well, he said he just got friends who are Aggies, just don't get three or more.
Yeah, don't want him in the group.
Then it's Koresh.
Then he dropped the David Koresh.
People have said they're cult.
On
yeah.
Him. Yeah. Because his friends.
He's got
friends who are Aggies. Yes. Obviously. Just two at a time.
And listen. He
never lets them hit three at a time. It's like Rico's statute for Aggie.
He's not anti-Aggie. He's got friends who are Aggies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got one of his best friends is an Aggie.
That's right.
Saying the A word.
Just doesn't want them to congregate. That's all.
He's not saying the C word.
Three or more together.
He didn't say it's the C word. He didn't say the, don't say the C word. He's got friends who are Aggies.
Well,
don't
he did say Koresh, which is cult.
He's being subtle.
Okay. Not that subtle. It wasn't that subtle.
It's like
not that subtle.
When you think of Colts, you think of Koresh. It's not that subtle.
That's not subtle at all. That's not subtle. That was a good call. Now, see, that's what sports talk is all about. And he's right. Oh, sorry. It's got to be reasonable.
No, but I just said Longhorn Keith is the one end. Reasonable, wants to talk about his team, doesn't really talk about other people. And then we have the other end of the spectrum. That's all.
That's right. Oh, no, that's good. We need diversity. Okay. Diversity in sports talk.
I didn't know.
Reasonable people who care about others' feelings. Okay? And then we got Longhorn Scott.
When you said diversity in sports talk, I'm glad you meant in this regard.
That's what I meant.
If you just look across lineups.
Yeah, yeah. Keith must be a beta. That's what Longhorn Scott said.
Keith's a nice guy. It's just what he is.
It's what he is. So, you Sooners or Aggies? You have any response for Longhorn Scott?
Rise to the bait of Longhorn
love that.
Scott.
No. That's exactly. Are you kidding? That's what my life is all about.
I know. You like fermenting hate and angst and.
Where's Farquharson on this one? Okay,
but you want our general manager to get in?
Yeah, he's trying to sell
to challenge. I think he has worked with Longhorn Scott in the past.
Where's Swinbank on this one? Okay.
Well, you know his thoughts.
Yeah.
If you don't, you'll know him later.
Oh, don't worry. We'll catch it on text from him. Don't worry.
I hope he's right and they're both, the Aggies undefeated or one loss.
Oh, my God. And
9-2 going into that game. I hope so.
Yeah. The Aggies got a rough go of it now. They've had five of their six games have been at home. Okay.
Yeah.
And now they got three really tough ones on the
road. That's kind of been the thing for – now, they did have to go to Indiana, and they beat Notre Dame there. But for a couple of the top teams, like Miami hasn't left the state of Florida yet. And they have a home game this Friday. They don't leave the state of Florida until their next game.
Wow.
That'll be six games in the state just set up that way. But, yeah, let's go. Let's get Aggies, Longhorns. I hope that week is one where Scott can call in and an Aggie can call in. Like it meant something last year, and the winner was into the title game. I hope we do that again.
Yep. And you hope it turns out the same way?
I don't necessarily root for the Longhorns, no. I mean, I don't need them to win.
I've never heard of an opposing fan base from any school who's like, I kind of like the Longhorns. I kind of cheer for them.
No, nobody ever said that.
I've never heard. I will see people from Rutgers do horns down in the middle of a game against, Maryland.
Yeah, right.
Like, what the hell? Why are they doing horns down? Why are Rutgers doing that against Northwest? Why are the Northwestern students doing horns down at Penn State?
Because I don't know. Yeah, you hear
it's
that
everywhere.
Oh, I like the Aggies. They're nice. People say that all the time.
I never see here to
I've
Texas.
Never heard say what.
Like I hate
like
Texas.
The Longhorns.
And I hate Texas.
I don't know that.
But they also everyone also hates Miami too.
That's true. I'm used to
because of the old Miami.
Yeah, my entire life I've dealt with that stuff. But I don't know that the Aggies should like the hey. That's like Cal. Or Robert McNair. Hey, they say we're pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, owners have told me we're pretty close. I don't know if you should want to be liked by opposing fan bases.
No. It's better to be hated.
Yeah.
Better to be hated. That means you're really good.
And you have caused,
you're just really snobby.
You've caused problems for them. You've beat them in the past. I don't want to be liked in college sports. That means they like to pat you on the head and go, nice try.
Yeah. Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. The number to hang with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Right now I'm talking about Game Day Men's Health. Game Day Men's. I'm going there today, as a matter of fact. I'm getting some blood work done, see where I am after I put my pellets in. But see, that's what they're like, yeah, come on, get in here. We want to see. We want to see that you're good. We want to see that make sure that it's all everything is working right, that it's releasing, the pellets are releasing as they're supposed to. And I'm going to tell you this. I think they are because I feel great. I feel great about what Game Day Men's Health, the how they solved my issue, and they'll solve your issue. And we worked at it, and Jamie and Sean and everybody over there, Patricia, they were all like, let's get this right. Let's make sure that you're feeling as good as you possibly can. And they did, and it worked because I had a crazy schedule. And you probably do too. I don't know what your schedule is like. Can you take off every week at the same time and get your, or in the neighborhood at the same time and get your shots? Because if you can't, there's a solution for you. Maybe you don't want shots. Maybe you want pills or you want pellets like I do. You don't want to go in you want to go in maybe once every 6 months or so. You want to do that? You can do that as well. I'm telling you, it's worked for me and it'll work for you. But you know what? If you haven't tested yet, you need to. If you're sluggish, if you're not as good as you used to be, if you're not sexually or focused at work, or you're starting to gain weight, whatever the case may be, you can be better with testosterone. And I think Game Day is the best place. They got labs on site, and they don't charge you to find out whether or not you're a candidate. So you're looking for the best way to get that testosterone. GameDayMensHealth.com, GameDayMensHealth.com.
Back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Did you guys see this story about the Kansas City Chiefs? University of Texas, UTEP, Texas El Paso. They did a study, an extensive study, on the Chiefs and whether or not they get calls from the referees. This is something that I know a lot of fans have complained about. The Chiefs get all the calls. The study told you are not being paranoid or delusional. Actually, science and research suggest you might be onto something. Published in the journal Financial Review, the study provides one of the clearest empirical looks at how financial pressures can influence real-time rule enforcement. Our findings suggest that when the league's financial health is at stake, rule enforcement may subtly shift to protect market appeal. The fact that postseason penalties consistently favored one franchise while similar dynasties showed no such pattern points to the powerful role of financial incentives in shaping supposedly neutral decisions. It says the implications extend beyond football, the research team says. The study draws parallels to financial markets, corporate governance, and regulatory agencies, where dominant players may enjoy advantages not because of explicit corruption, but because institutions under pressure adapt to preserve stability. This was a time they came into effect. The before Patrick Mahomes, you had all of the other stuff that was going on around the league with the kneeling, Colin Kaepernick. You had a lot of stuff where TV viewerships and ratings dipped from 2015 to 17, just before Mahomes became the Chiefs' starting quarterback. So they are saying that the Chiefs' popularity, and now it is proven that their popularity has increased viewership in the NFL and led to a lot more money in the NFL. Whether or not it was coerced or to referees or whatnot, that the Chiefs enjoyed. They enjoyed the referees being lenient towards them and harsher to other teams.
Yeah, that's pretty damning.
Yeah, it really is. It's not, and they looked at all of the plays, and that most of it was subjective. Roughing the quarterback, interference.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are decisions that are made on the spot, and it's not. You know, false starts are false starts.
Yeah,
that's clear.
It's an easy one.
But as opposed to, and we know Mahomes has gotten plenty of roughing the quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. All right, I'm going to start with a simple question. Do you think an NFL official has ever called a penalty because it was personal for him?
Yes.
I think it's
absolutely
100% certainty.
Yes.
So I start with that because we have to acknowledge that has happened.
Yes.
These are humans. Now, I'm going to ask, let's take it a step further.
In instances might be a coach has called him out after a game, previous game, where he missed a call,
but
or
does
whatever.
He wait until a big situation?
And then you know what? Maybe I'll get you back on this one. Maybe I'll give you a little shot here.
I think it's not only is it likely, it's 100%.
It's human nature.
The question is, how often is it happening?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then the scary thing is, has there ever been and there has been officials who have done this for gambling purposes.
Yep.
Without question. I know a story about in the mid-90s, a guy in the Pac-12, an official in the Pac-12 who was involved in that. But it does make you wonder, like, man, is there an official out there who would – that's why you're not allowed to call games. That's why they have conference officials from the SEC call Big Ten games or whatever the case may be. That's why they mix it up to try to avoid any of that, because the biggest concern you have – remember, John, when you told me the replay guy, was it the replay guy up in the booth?
Yeah, it was from Texas.
Austin, when Texas played Houston.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even look at it. Wouldn't even look at that play. And it was obvious that it should have gone at Houston's way, and he wouldn't even review it.
You just can't have that potential conflict of interest in place.
Yeah, right.
You can't, but, you know, it does make you, because it's so subjective, and there's even better accountability in basketball and baseball. With it, there's some accountability from the league. In football, subjective calls, like, what are you going to say? You can call penalties all the time. There's hands on, mm-hmm. Like, I'm watching the games, and Trey, it wasn't Trey Aikman, it was Tony Romo said, yeah, I wouldn't, that was a good no call right there. And the guy's got his hands on the jersey, he's got his hands on the defender outside of 5 yards, but Tony made the point, it's not enough to call it, and he didn't really restrict his movement. He's got his hands on him, and he's, but all I could think of was that could just, if somebody decided to call that a foul, they could have called that a foul.
Yep.
And they could have thrown a flag. The ability to throw penalties on holdings or whatever is just.
It's subjective.
There's so many opportunities mm-hmm. that if you wanted to do it, if you said, I'm going to not do it or I'm going to do it, the ability to make your own personal decision about when to do it and when not to do it, and then you think, God forbid they have a grudge. Or they have a score to settle, or they have a bias in any reason. It can have a huge impact on football, college and pro football.
Well, they're human. They're going to have a bias. There's no question. There's no question you're going to have some bias in some way, shape, or form. And you can't. You're right. And you have to decide what's the time to call and what, because you can. You can call a hold on every play. So, but it's not your imagination. You're not delusional. You're not being it's actually science now. The Chiefs get favorable calls, and they've cheated us for years and years and years. And so this has to change. And I wonder if the league has benefited from Patrick Mahomes and his popularity.
Yeah.
The league has benefited. I wonder if it is conscious or it's just unconsciously doing it. I don't know. I don't know. I think there's too much money at stake for Roger Goodell to ever tell a referee, hey, we need the Chiefs here. We need, you know what? We need you guys to make sure the Patrick's protected all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if that is the case, then that, I mean, the dude makes what?
40, famously, 40? Michael Jordan had that. Famously, David Stern admitted, hey, our stars get calls. Yeah. No one's paying not to, they don't come here to see Michael Jordan foul out. He actually said that out loud with his mouth. Like, why would you say that out loud? We have separate set. If you're a star, you're not going to be called for as many penalties, which is what.
And guess what? The league got a lot about as popular as it's ever been.
I mean, he was a pragmatist and a businessman. Yeah. He understood. But, you know, that's the same reason that Jeff Van Gundy and others just get so pissed that Shaq and Yao were refereed different. Like, right. You know, these are stars, too.
Yeah,
right. Why are they getting refereed different? Because they're big?
Right. No, absolutely. All right, 746 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. I got to talk about Ownwell right now because your property taxes are coming in now, all right? You're getting those property tax, what the government thinks you should be paying in property taxes. And it's more than you should. It's more than you should. 86% of the time. Oh, that's to me, that is so incredible. That is so incredible that Ownwell, last year, 86% of Ownwell's customers, last year, 60,000 Houston homeowners switched to Ownwell and received an average better deductions than similar agents. Ownwell customers average savings of $1,100, okay? Put property tax money back in your pocket. Let Ownwell do it. They have proprietary technology and local expertise that you don't have. They know this area, and they know how to get your property taxes reduced. You don't. I've fought and won before. I've fought and lost before. And when you lose, doing it by yourself, you're costing yourself a lot of money because next time it's going to be even more because the government always, always, always goes up, never goes down. So stop overpaying and start saving with Ownwell. Sign up in 3 minutes at ownwell.com/Texas. Ownwell.com/Texas. That's ownwell.com/Texas.
We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got Seattle this week. This is a big one.
Yeah, unfortunately, Mariners up 2-0 on George and the boys as they beat the brakes off of them yesterday, 10-3.
Yeah,
Polanco, Naylor, and Rodriguez all homer.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough. They might be the team of destiny. And Harkrider was listening. He's like, this is the worst-case scenario, Seattle versus the Dodgers. Yeah. I mean, the worst-case scenario for me would have been Yankees-Dodgers part two.
Yeah.
And then Yankees winning. That would have been a worst-case scenario.
No, but I'd rather have the Yankees.
Relatively speaking, yeah, I don't love the Mariners. I don't love the Mariners playing the Dodgers. But if they do, I promise you I'm for the Mariners. I don't want the Dodgers to win anything.
No, me either.
Their fans have been unfair. Their fans are the worst. They think they were literally robbed of a title when they lost Game 7 in their own building.
And lost Game 2 in their own building.
Yeah.
Two of the wins came at Dodger Stadium.
Two of the four wins came there.
Yeah, so stop.
And one of them was like one of their losses was that 15-inning game, or how long did it last? The Game 5?
Oh, no, it was 12? Wasn't it 12?
No, it was Game 5. Because yeah, Game right. 6 I went to
one of the
Houston.
Greatest games ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That game lasted forever.
Yeah. Stop a bit. No. The only time I would ever root for Seattle is if they're playing the Dodgers.
Yeah.
That's the only time. The only time.
Yeah.
Come on, Milwaukee. Bounce back. I mean,
oh my
Milwaukee's
God. Blake Snell went off yesterday.
Oh, I'm going to tell you this, though. Seattle's pitching and the Dodgers starting pitching are phenomenal. Phenomenal. I mean, that's why they're so good. Milwaukee is a great hitting team, and Snell just shut them down.
Completely.
Just shut them down.
Went 8 innings.
Yeah.
I mean, completely shut them
and
down.
Then,
he went
and
old
then
school.
The bullpen gave up a run. I mean, the Dodgers bullpen is, if you can get to their pen, you can beat the Dodgers.
You got a shot.
Their starting pitching, great. Their bullpen sucks.
Yeah,
all year.
So they won the first one against Milwaukee. I still think that's going to be a series. We'll see. I I think Toronto may be properly cooked now. This may be a wrap. I mean, we've seen it with the Astros before, where just because you lose two at home doesn't really mean anything for the Astros. They lose at home all the time. They win on the road all the time in the postseason. But I don't think Toronto. I think Seattle's just been on a heater. There was a time when they played god-awful baseball. We were losing. They were losing. It looked like Seattle was just like completely screwing themselves. And then they got hot, and they haven't slowed down.
Yeah.
They've been hot for, I don't know, what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 2 months?
Yeah.
This hot streak. And the bats just, but like you said, the pitching is caught up with the hitting.
It's just incredible how good they are. I mean, they shut that Detroit game. Holy crap. They used 30 pitchers and they held them to nothing.
Every pitcher who came in, yep, all had, and they all have sinkers. Yep. Like, they were throwing a ton of sinkers. Maybe we should throw more sinkers and less curveballs so somebody's arm can still exist for the Astros. Did you see any of the Monday Night Football? There were two games. I don't know how I feel about this two-game Monday Night Football. They run them concurrently.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. I was going back and forth between the two. Josh Allen and Buffalo just got beat. I mean, they were just beaten soundly by the Falcons. It was a good game.
Allen hasn't looked. You know, who have they beaten? The four teams that they've beaten are not good.
No, the Ravens have one win.
The Ravens, the Jets,
no wins.
The Dolphins, did they beat the Dolphins? Yeah.
Do y'all have a win, Dell?
You have one. And there's one other team, the Raiders. Who'd they beat? They beat somebody that's crap.
Well, the Raiders have two now, right?
Who did they beat?
The Raiders have two wins?
They beat the Titans over the weekend.
They just beat the Titans, and
they beat the Patriots in week one.
Well, but they've got four wins against all crappy teams, and they've looked like – they look bad the last couple of weeks. The Bills have looked bad.
Well, their defense – I mean,
they lost to the Patriots and the Falcons.
Their defense hasn't really been good all year. We saw that week one where the Ravens did whatever they wanted to until they fumbled the football.
You're right. The Saints – how many wins – the Saints have – do they – Saints don't have a win, do they?
Yeah, they beat the Giants.
Okay, so the Saints have one win. The Jets have no wins. The Dolphins have one win, and the Ravens have one win. Their four wins have come against
– nobody.
A total of three wins.
Yeah.
Three wins for four teams.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they've lost to two
– yeah.
You know, mediocre teams.
I mean, that's kind of
– yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I mean, some of their concerns are legit. I think there's some defensive concerns, but – big game for an 81-yard touchdown run for Bijan Robinson. He's back to Bijan. Bijan Robinson.
Bijan looks good now.
Yeah, he's going to be offensive player of the year. And then you had what ended up being a good game between – it was a quick start for the Chicago Bears. Got off to a quick start, got a 13-0 lead. Then it was 13-7 and a half. Then Jaden Daniels got hot in the second half. But he had a costly interception and a costly fumble at the end of the game. His fumble led to a game-winning drive by Caleb Williams. You know, Caleb in the second half of the – Caleb was a little uneven in the middle of that game, but he really came up and made some plays. He looks a lot better. It's amazing. I remember Ryan Poles called me one time and said, hey, what's the secret to, you think, the head coach and the quarterback with what you guys have in Houston with D'Amico and that's after they had a really good rookie season. Yeah. And so what he's doing is he was trying to figure out who he wanted to draft at quarterback before they took Caleb Williams, and then also he was just thinking about his head coaching position. And I don't know what I said. I said something, but really there was no real way to know. You know what the secret is? You get a talented quarterback and you put somebody who his leadership's going to be his leadership. Whatever it is, it is. There's nothing you can do about that. But you get a guy like Ben Johnson with Caleb Williams, he's going to be his best version. He's going to be his best version. So that's the key to me, is that you got Ben Johnson with a quarterback.
Yeah.
You're gonna get some good plays. Dude is good offensive mind.
That's it. No, you have somebody that actually can develop a quarterback. Look at what Kevin O'Connell does. Stefanski, you know, for as bad as the Browns are, Stefanski's amazing offensive. He's been won two coach of the years.
I think also what's his name in Green Bay? LaFleur.
Yep.
I think LaFleur's a good mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, look, those are all offensive-minded guys, and that's why the trend is going offense.
And look at Bo Nix. I mean, there's having a head coach or offensive coordinator who is.
You got to have somebody who can develop a quarterback. That's pretty much must have.
So, big rivalry game on Thursday night, and it's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Listen to Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is none too pleased with the Cleveland Browns. He's facing Joe Flacco this week. Here's Mike Tomlin talking about that trade. He was asked about the trade of Flacco to Cincinnati.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
So Andrew Berry caught it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when it happened, I thought, well, this is unusual to trade inside the division. But, and I know the Browns don't think they're doing anything, and they want to, you know, for the Browns, they're just trying to look out for themselves. They're like, we're not. For Mike Tomlin, who's got to play the Bengals, you know, he's probably thinking, why are you?
What are you doing?
They're dead in the water.
What are you doing?
Jake Browning can't play. Why are you helping them?
Yeah.
This guy's better than Jake Browning. Why are you helping someone in a division when we're trying to win the freaking division?
Yeah.
I said freaking, by the way. What are you doing? What are you doing? And I totally get what Mike Tomlin was thinking. If I'm Andrew Berry, I'm like, I ain't caring about that. We're trying to get our, we're going to get our rookies.
What, did you get a fifth rounder for him?
You're not going to get much for Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but you don't give him up in a division.
Why? Because you were going to win?
No. You just don't.
You would think somebody else would have.
Although
wanted...
he's not a long-term answer, so.
No, he's just a Band-Aid anyway.
Right.
I get it. If I'm the Browns, I'm like, I don't care about you Steelers.
Well, Joe Flacco took them to the playoffs, though.
But they're not going to the playoffs. Joe Flacco was a good move, and he even said that's a good move for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Flacco didn't even have, he had like a week to prepare, and he went out there, and he was, you know, he was okay.
Yeah.
I watched some of that game. He's a functional passer for sure.
Right. So. All right. We got a break. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you're more than welcome. If John Daspin wants to get in here, he can too.
John Daspin is the people's lawyer, personal injury lawyer who makes sure that your best interests are looked after. And, you know, most notably, you're going to have John Daspin dealing with, his entire law firm. He's got a huge law firm. But the reason he has a big law firm is because he wants every single client to be able to get the attention that their case deserves. And that's what you should want. Not somebody with a huge caseload who you're just another number to them. That's never going to be the case. But I'll give you an example of what he does. When they've got something out on the roadway, when they've got injuries because of a car accident that was somebody else's fault, you know, the hospital bills are a major thing to get taken care of. And if you can't afford it, don't worry about it. John Daspit's going to take care of it for you. No insurance, don't worry about it. John Daspit will make sure that gets taken care of. And then from there, he'll make sure insurance pays for that, for your time missed from work, and obviously for your pain and suffering. He's going to get you a big payout, one that is commensurate with the pain and suffering that you're going through. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspitLaw.com.